This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Last week, Wisconsin's Supreme Court ruled that the charitable arm of the Catholic Diocese in Superior does not get a religious exemption from paying into the state's unemployment insurance system. Legal representatives for the Catholic Charities Bureau say they're going to try to appeal the decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. An expert on religion and the law is here to break down the arguments in the case and what it says about how we interpret religious liberties in the United States. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think that religious service organizations like the Catholic Charities Bureau should get special exemptions that other secular charitable organizations don't? Have you worked for a religious service organization? Do you think the work they do qualifies for religious exemptions under the law? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Adam Kuntz is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire. Adam, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. It's good to be back.
Well, this case, Adam, touches on a lot of big issues. Let's keep it narrow for a moment. Can you talk us through the details of this case and what was at stake?
Sure, absolutely. So basically, we've got two parties here. We've got on the one side the state, which is represented in this case by a couple of agencies that are basically charged with managing the state's unemployment insurance scheme. It's a state unemployment insurance scheme that basically every other state has. We all pay into it as employees. Our employers pay into it so that if there's an unemployment situation that comes up, we can collect unemployment benefits and until we find another job. On the other side is the Catholic Charities Bureau, which is specifically an entity within the Diocese of Superior. So it's a sub-organization within the broader diocese in the northern part of Wisconsin. And this particular charity had four different groups that it decided to affiliate with. These groups were not religious in nature at all. One example was the Barron County Development Services Incorporated, which basically coaches people for job placement, works with people with disabilities. Before 2014, they had absolutely nothing to do with the diocese. They were not religious at all, had no religious affiliation, and they received no funding from the church. The other three entities that we're talking about here were a little bit like that. So mostly secular organizations that decided for financial reasons to associate with the Catholic Church. Around 2015, a circuit court decision was rendered in Douglas County that basically called into question whether or not an entity like this, so one of these nested entities, would have to pay into the unemployment insurance scheme. And since 2015, the Catholic Charities has been fighting with the agencies at the Wisconsin state level to get exemptions for all four of these entities so that they would not have to pay into the state unemployment insurance scheme. It has gone back and forth a couple different directions. Two agencies have looked at it. There's an administrative law judge that's looked at it. A trial court judge has looked at it. And then it's gone all the way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And ultimately, what the court held was that these four entities aren't exempt under a statute that gives exemptions for religious organizations. So that's the plain and simple of it.
That's great. And Adam, I want to pick up on that last point. There is this exemption in unemployment insurance, and I think various tax laws as well, for religious institutions. And that's been interpreted generally, correct me if I'm wrong, to mean it's the house of worship or it's a monastery or something like that, something with the sole intention of doing the religion. Do I have that about right?
Yeah, you have that exactly right. Basically, what the statute specifically says is that it will give an exemption to, quote, an organization operated primarily for religious purposes and then controlled, quote, by a church. So those two factors in the statute are what entitle an organization to an exemption. Primarily religious is kind of the key phrase here.
And as I understand it, the challengers here representing the Catholic Charities said, well, hang on, we're doing this stuff. We've affiliated with these charities because we're Catholic. We're performing our religious mission via these organizations. How do you read this? The state Supreme Court obviously didn't agree with that. How do you read that?
So the way that I read this is the court is looking to try to understand what the intent of the legislature is. They did a really great job, I think, of doing what's called a textualist or originalist analysis, where they dug into what the Wisconsin legislature must have meant by religious exemptions here or religious purpose, and the, using a series of case law to basically to determine whether or not there's a religious motivation and what kind of activities an organization would be doing. Those two factors are relevant to that analysis. And what the court did is they said, you know, it may be the case that you have declared yourself as part of the Catholic umbrella, but you are about four steps down from the actual Catholic Church, and your activities that you're engaged in are not what we would consider to be religious in nature. That really was what broke the case for the majority on the court. It was the fact that essentially the kinds of things that these organizations were doing, while perhaps being motivated in the same way that a Catholic person might be motivated to give charitably, those purposes were ultimately being done through a secular vehicle. So the kinds of things we'd normally see from an unemployment agency that we could just see, you know, in a strip mall driving down the road, that's the kinds of things that were being done by these organizations. And I think that's what tipped the balance for the court.
Now, this is a tight majority, 4-3, the usual liberal conservative split on the court. I want to talk about the stakes a little bit, Adam. I imagine these charities might not be huge employers, but could, if the court had ruled the other way in favor of the charities, how about a hospital that has a religious affiliation or a university or college that has a religious affiliation? There we're starting to talk about bigger employers. Could, if this decision had gone the other way, could it have applied to organizations like that?
I think so. I think so. Let's take Marquette University, one of our banner universities here in Wisconsin, and one that's affiliated with the Catholic Church. It has a mission that's tied back to Catholicism. It is an entity that is mostly private, receives most of its funding through tuition. It has a predominantly secular purpose, which is to educate students. It has a law school, which produces lawyers. And essentially, if the court had gone the other direction here, as long as you're nested underneath the umbrella of a religion, and you can cite some religion as being the thing that's ultimately the tree from which you're falling here, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. The dissenting opinions in this case would essentially have us go that way, that as long as you're tied back in some way and make a plausible case that, well, our doctrine requires things like education, well, then ergo Marquette University is also engaged in religious conduct, ergo they're entitled to an exemption, and therefore Marquette does not have to pay into any of the unemployment insurance. All the staff, faculty, from janitors all the way up to administrators, would now no longer be within the state's unemployment insurance scheme.
Adam Kuntz is with us, assistant professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire, looking at church and state exemptions for religious organizations, in this case from workplace compensation laws. A state Supreme Court ruling says that can't be expanded to charitable groups that operate under the umbrella of churches. You could join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. All right, Adam, let's look at some wider issues here. We have these religious exemptions in workers' compensation rules for a house of worship, say, other tax-related laws. Why? Why are religious groups exempted in the first place?
Well, I think there's probably two answers to that. One is that there's a kind of cultural reason why we do this. The United States is a religious country. There's a long history of religious worship in the United States. It's baked into our culture. We are also a pluralist culture when it comes to our religious beliefs. So we at least ostensibly say that everyone's welcome when it comes to religious belief. And so I think legislatures like those in Wisconsin want to carve out these exceptions for religions to, in essence, keep as much of a wall between the state and religion as possible. Let religions do the good work that they want to do without state involvement. The other layer to this, though, is that we have the First Amendment, and the First Amendment explicitly says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Those two clauses, the free exercise and the establishment clause, are in somewhat conflict with one another. On the one hand, the state needs to treat religion carefully and let you practice your faith in whatever way you wish, freely exercise it. On the other hand, the state can't also prop up a religion and establish a religion. And so one of the tensions that always comes up in cases like this is when the state decides to give an exemption for religious belief, it necessarily then has to ask the question, well, is this religious? Which then raises some radar problems with the Establishment Clause. Is the state now wading in and digging into the question of what counts as religion? The dissent and Beckett Law Firm, which is the one that was representing the Catholic charities in this case, would very much like the state to always defer in religious cases, to assume that everything is religious and to always treat it as lightly as possible for that Establishment Clause reason. On the other hand, there's substantial arguments from the founders all the way back to the pre-colonial period that states have to, in order to decide whether or not to give exemptions, states have to first ask, is this religious? And I think what Wisconsin did at their Supreme Court level was walk that line very, very narrowly and very carefully.
We're talking to Adam Kuntz, assistant professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire, about a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling against extending religious exemptions for the Catholic Charities Bureau when it comes to workers' comp payments. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on that particular ruling and the narrow issue? Or do you have thoughts or questions about how we treat religious organizations under the law, under tax codes, and more? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Adam Kuntz, assistant professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire, looking at the Wisconsin Supreme Court's recent ruling that the charitable arm of the Catholic Diocese in Superior does not get a religious exemption from paying into the state's unemployment insurance system. I said workers' comp earlier. Unemployment insurance was this particular case. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with that decision? Do you have questions about it? Do you want to see it go to the U.S. Supreme Court? Call in with your questions or thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I have an opinion on this real quick. I just want to say that when the Diocese of Superior subcontracts for work, like with a concrete masonry organization or a landscaping service, they don't object to the bid, which does pay into the unemployment insurance. So I would have liked to have seen the diocese take the moral high road and not fight this. Also, I guess I'm unsure as to whether the people providing this service in the four nested organizations, I don't think they're employees of the diocese. Are they?
Jeff, thanks for the call. Adam.
Yeah. So, Jeff, as to your first point, I fully agree. I think that if we take this line of thinking that the charities tried to make before the court, I think what we do is we start opening up the door, which is, I think, the intention behind what Beckett Law Group is doing, is to open up the door to look at other things that churches are doing, like government contracts. And so I think your point's absolutely valid. That does every single time that a church does anything, is it subject to this kind of inquiry? So I think that's a fair point. As to the second one, when we're talking about these four particular entities, they are not employees of the diocese. We're talking about subcontractors within subcontractors. It's notable, by the way, and I want to emphasize this, that nothing was really lost here for the Catholic charities. This is not a sea change for them. These particular charitable organizations had existed before 2015, had been paying into the insurance scheme. They were doing so afterwards. Catholic Charities has paid into that insurance scheme for decades. It's only been since 2015 that they've been attempting to fight this, and that's simply because there's been this attempt to activize or to look for these kinds of loopholes in the statutory language.
Thanks for the call, Jeff, at 800-642-1234. Kay joins us now in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi. I have a question. Does this apply, or could it apply to, like, Lutheran social services or Jewish social services?
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. And I know various religious groups, Adam, had an interest in this and may have filed relevant briefs in this.
They did. So this is kind of an interesting feature of all religious cases is you'll oftentimes get amicus briefs from other religious entities, too, because at the end of the day, organized religions are like any organization, like any company, any group would be looking for a tax advantage or a financial advantage. There's nothing bad about that. Organizations want to protect their bottom line, and Catholic Charities and Lutheran charitable services are no exemption to that. So if you can find an opportunity not to have to pay taxes, of course, you'll look for that opportunity. So cases like this, if Lutheran services does reach out to an entity that has existed separately from it for some time, and that entity has decided, hey, we want to affiliate, potentially this ruling would be just as applicable to that organization as any other, regardless of what kind of religion you would be. What's interesting is that when we get into these conversations, the Beckett Law Group that's behind this has also fought, on the other hand, the sincerity of belief of other organizations. They opposed the Reformed Jewish argument that abortion should be protected for Reformed Jews under religious belief grounds. And Beckett Law Group opposed that, claiming that this was not sincere belief. So what we end up getting into with things like this is now it becomes an interreligious fight as to whose beliefs really count as sincere and who gets to really get protections.
Thanks, Kay, for the call. Brad joins us now in Madison. Brad, hello.
Hi. I support the Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court's decision. And I think it makes just common sense. My comment is that if it is accepted on appeal at the U.S. Supreme Court, I sort of feel like, they've shown themselves in the past few years to be very open to expanding the role of religion in government and society. And so I sort of feel like I won't say the deck is stacked exactly, but the time might be right for the church to bring this to the U.S. Supreme Court and to have, again, a change made in how many of us sort of see the separation of church and state.
Brad, thanks for the call. Adam, take us to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I mean, Brad, you brought up the elephant in the room. So the church does plan to appeal this to SCOTUS. Now, keep in mind, SCOTUS gets about 8,000 petitions for certiorari a year, so your chances of getting accepted are pretty slim. They only accept about 60 cases a year. So is this going to be one that's going to get there? As I tell my constitutional law students, the best way to get in front of the court is to have a circuit split or a state law split. So if other states have rendered a different decision from Wisconsin, then we've got a conflict somewhere, and SCOTUS would be in the position to resolve that. On the other hand, I do share Brad's kind of concern in the sense that, Justice Alito is close affiliates with the folks that founded Beckett Law Group that are the ones that are leading the charge here. So there is that connection. Justice Alito is also an ardent Catholic who has given speeches at the Vatican before. There is a Catholic majority, supermajority of conservatives on the court. And as Brad points out, the court has shown in the last 5 years, which is not accidental given the way that this particular case has percolated, the court has shown its willingness to stretch the meaning of statutory language to cover as many sins as a religion would like to have it covered. And so I think there is a pretty good chance that it might end up before the court, maybe not this time, but a case like this, if another state rules a different direction, or if a federal court has a different interpretation and that sets up that conflict of law, then yeah, I think the Supreme Court could be in a position to take this up. Now, whether or not they will go that far, it's a little bit hard to say. What we have seen is that there is some disagreement amongst even the conservatives on the court as to what to do in cases like this. So if you do this, what doors are you opening up down the road? And Justice Comey Barrett is an example of one who's been a little bit reluctant to say, well, what do we do instead? If we do open this door, what's the next case going to look like? So maybe cooler heads might prevail. Who knows?
Thanks for that call, Brad. Adam, I want to ask something. Maybe it's far-fetched. Let me know if it is. Say a private company looked at a ruling like this, if it had gone the other way or if the U.S. Supreme Court overturns it, say Hobby Lobby, which I believe has been represented by the same law firm, and says, well, we're in business for a religious cause. We use money for religious purposes. We have a religious-based mission. Could they take advantage of this and say, well, we should be exempt too?
Well, I think that's when we start to make connections with Hobby Lobby, that is kind of the worst case scenario. And, you know, Rob, I don't want to speculate too much as to what could come from that, but your intuitions are absolutely right. If religious purpose under this Wisconsin statute is writ broadly here, and if we're willing to say, well, they're not under the supervision of a church under this particular statute, could a private organization do that? There's at least an argument there, and it's one that could certainly percolate its way up the chain. I would hope that cooler heads would prevail at that point, because at that stage, any private company could potentially say, well, we're just doing this in the name of religion, provided that a board of directors or a CEO or someone in control has some religious beliefs at stake.
And then looking to the future, we've already talked a little bit about whether or not the U.S. Supreme Court would take this up. Do you expect to see similar cases coming up in other states, in part maybe with the intent of getting it to the U.S. Supreme Court?
I absolutely do. So this is when I used to work at a law firm, this is an effort that I think law firms do try to accomplish. So Beckett Law Group has as their mission, it's in their mission statement, to try to protect rights that come from God. And they seek out cases like this. So even if they don't necessarily get this case before the court now, they are absolutely going to be looking for another one in another state somewhere else. They may even be doing that currently. So the fact that they produce law clerks that serve on the Supreme Court, the fact that they weigh in on Supreme Court justices, Beckett Law Group, this is their mission. And so we will at some point see another case like this.
Adam, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be back.
That's Adam Kuntz, assistant professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire. He helped us break down a recent decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which says that the Catholic Charities Bureau in Superior does not get a religious exemption from paying into the state's unemployment insurance system, and how it fits into wider issues and could end up at the U.S. Supreme Court.